following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
All right, good morning again, folks. And welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I'm so glad that you are worshiping our God with us this morning. Before we get going into our new series that we're starting for June and July, I want to make note of the sheets that are either on your chair or the one next to you. These are your ballots for our Same Passage, Five Ways series that we'll be doing in August. So we have a number of great preachers lined up for the month of August, and this is the opportunity to decide what it is they'll be preaching on. So the idea isn't like stump the preacher, it's not to pick the most difficult text necessarily, but the one that you feel speaking to you, the one that you maybe would identify with as Emmanuel's story, or a story that you would like for our church to be living into. So you'll see there's both a front and a back. Now I've done my duty that Erica made sure to remind me, tell everyone there's a front and a back. So there's a front and a back. But that's because there's 17 responses that I got. 17 different verses or passages or books that were dropped in that basket. So, I mean, this is at least twice the size of what it was last year. Really four times because there's a front and a back. And that's really incredible. And it had me really excited when I went through and was kind of flipping through all the cards and counting them all out and reading the whys. I mean, for one, it means that this is a series that people are anticipating, that people are excited about, that it was impactful last year. Now we kind of know what it looks like and can be excited about for this year. I think it also says that as a congregation, we are invested in and we are diving into God's Word. So people have passages and have verses that are speaking to them in really profound ways and want to be able to share that with our whole congregation. And that to me is really, really exciting. And it also means that we're excited together to hear what God is going to continue to say to us as a church family, that we anticipate God having more for us and opening up His Word to us in really incredible ways. So I am just thrilled at this, at getting to put this together and then having the opportunity to see what it is that we'll be preaching in August. So they're there, they're on your chairs. There's a few more on the music stand by the door. There's a bigger basket on the Welcome Center. So you drop one in the basket. You can drop it in there today or next Sunday. Or if you would like, you can email me if you want to take this home and look at it and spend some time reading through a little bit more. Absolutely, you can email me throughout the week. To turn in the paper ballots, they are due next Sunday. If you want to email me, I'll give you a little bit of leeway the week after, but I at least need them before, really before Thursday, so that it can be announced on the 21st. So here they are. If you have questions, let me know. But this week, we're starting our series on the parables. So a couple of the books that I have been using as tools, as references and guides for the series, called the parables Short Stories by Jesus, or Stories with Intent. And both of those are kind of true. There's kind of quirky names that go along with the parables. And it's kind of neat, because these parables can do some really profound things. They can be a few sentences long, or they can be several verses long, and they really allow the reader, the hearer, to get into a world that is being created by Jesus. And recently, I came across a quote, and I actually shared this quote, a shorter version of it, with our council at our recent council meeting. It's a quote that I have read multiple times, but it hadn't really jumped out at me until I'd been kind of spending time in the parables and then reading some of these commentaries on parables. And I think these words, this interaction that I'm going to read in a second, really gets at what Jesus is trying to do with his parables. And so this passage is from the C.S. Lewis book. It's one of the Chronicles of Narnia books, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, which is the third one that was written, but it falls fourth in the series because The Magician's Nephew is the prequel, but it was written towards the end. Yeah. And this section comes towards the tail end of the book, and it's an interaction between Lucy and Edmund and Aslan. "Please, Aslan," Aslan said, "Lucy, before we go, will you tell us when we can come back to Narnia again? And please, oh, do make it soon." "Dearest," said Aslan very gently, "you and your brother will never come back to Narnia." "Oh, Aslan," said Edmund and Lucy, both together in despairing voices. "You are too old, children," said Aslan, "and you must begin to come close to your own world now." "It isn't Narnia, you know," sobbed Lucy. "It's you. We shan't meet you there. And how can we live never meeting you?" "But you shall meet me, dear one," said Aslan. Are you there too, sir?" said Edmund. "I am," said Aslan. "But there I have another name. You must learn to know me by that name. This was the very reason why you were brought to Narnia, that by knowing me here for a little, you may know me better there." By knowing me here for a little, you may know me better there. And that's the spirit and intent behind Jesus' parables. He opens up these worlds, whether it's a couple of verses or whether it's several verses long, these worlds that people are invited into to experience God in a completely different way so that they might see God more clearly in their own lives, in their own world. There are these short, very purposeful stories that illuminate really difficult and challenging new ideas. As Jesus was teaching and preaching, he was changing all kinds of paradigms for his disciples. And for some, that can really be understood through some good exposition and just kind of, you know, laying down the facts and the ideas. But for others, that kind of complex paradigm shift needs to be cultivated in a fuller way, in a way that you can grasp through story. Because stories, they stay with us. They allow us to process things differently. They're more memorable. They can be more impactful. They can cause us to act. And parables are stories, but they're more than just stories. They're these extended analogies. And they help us relate something that we can understand to a more difficult or a complex subject. Something like forgiveness, or the kingdom of God, the love of God, prayer, discipleship, and more. And so, over the course of these next 2 months, throughout June and July, we're going to be looking at a number of Jesus' parables together. Some of them are well-known parables, others are less well-known, but equally valuable and important. When it makes sense, we'll group a couple of parables together if they're kind of hitting at the same common theme. We won't get through all of them. I apologize if I leave out your favorite parable. But that doesn't mean I don't like it. That doesn't mean I don't think it's important. That means we had 8 weeks and there's lots of parables. But this morning, we're going to start off with a parable that actually kind of bridges our April series on grace with this series on parables. And so we'll be looking at one of Jesus' parables that directly addresses this need for forgiveness and grace. Our text is Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35. So I'll invite you to turn there now If you don't have a Bible and would like one, please raise your hand. One of our ushers would be happy to bring you one. And as we turn to the parable of the unforgiving servant, let me pray for us and we'll dive in together. Heavenly Father, we worship you this morning. We ask that your Holy Spirit be present with us this morning. And Lord, we ask that the word of your Son Jesus in this parable that we read this morning speaks to us, that we will learn and we will grow and that we will be inspired by this word. And God, that we would hear what it is that you would have us hear this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, Be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. I want to take a second to just let that parable sit. What stands out to you? What do you hear? What do you feel? As we work through this parable series, I want us to be able to take that time to just hear the words. Hear the parable for what it is. One of the best things I read in this huge book of parables that I'm using as one of my resources, written by a former professor of mine at North Park, Dr. Klein Snodgrass, which is one of the best names in of all time, I think. But he wrote this book, and he wrote it, and his intro says, I wrote this because this is the kind of book that I would have liked to have when I was preaching. But what he reminded in that intro is that we don't need to do too much to these parables. That there is a real, real caution to over-theologize, to over-psychologize, to read too much into all of the different intricacies at play. But these were stories that were written so everyone could understand and grasp the deep theological truths that Jesus was trying to convey through them. And so I want to create that space. And I'm going to try real hard not to over-theologize or over-psychologize or to do too much work for us and to hopefully just open up what it is that Jesus is saying in this parable and in the parables to come. And so here's what strikes me about this. The first thing is just the sheer amount of money that we're talking about. It's kind of hard to read it and kind of have it click as we're reading in English in the 21st century in North America. The 10,000 bags of gold doesn't like jump out as, you know, a unit of measurement that we often use in our everyday life, or at least I don't. I don't often pay for things in bags of gold. In a lot of translation, the bags of gold is actually talents. And so in doing some of the research, a talent is a unit of measuring a weight of gold or copper or silver. And it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 to 90 pounds. So one talent is 60 to 90 pounds of gold. So 10,000 talents, then, is roughly 204 metric tons of gold. 204 metric tons of gold. And so, again, depending on the metal used, a talent is worth about 6,000 denarii, and that's a currency used then. So the value in denarii is 60 million, 60 million denarii. And we know from Matthew 20, verse 2, that a day laborer makes about one denarii a day. And so doing kind of the backwards math with all of that, it would take a laborer, a day laborer, 164,000 years to pay back this debt. If we translate that to the Canadian dollar, although I guess it was really the U.S. dollar, so you can do the translation to Canadian dollar if you want. It's a lot, regardless. You know, if we're looking at someone who's working for minimum wage, around $10 a day, the debt that they would be looking at is $4.8 billion. $4.8 billion. And so the key is that essentially this is an amount that this servant would never have even a remote chance of paying back. We don't know from this parable how he got in that kind of debt, but we know he owes it, and we know that he can't pay it. And yet he asks for forgiveness. Can you imagine asking for forgiveness for $4.8 billion? Can you imagine granting forgiveness for $4.8 billion? But it is. Forgiveness for that debt is granted by this master, by the king. We know that there's nothing that the servant can do to earn this kind of forgiveness. There's nothing the servant can do to repay his master. Can you imagine being asked to forgive that kind of debt and then actually forgiving it? And that's the thing, the second thing that really stands out to me about that, is Jesus is asking us to model our lives after that master. He's asking us to see that as an example, to recognize the just enormity of the kind of forgiveness that was offered to this servant. And so the clear primary message of this parable is that we are to forgive. We have for us a model of overwhelming forgiveness. Forgiveness for a debt that can never be repaid. And as such, we should be then expected to forgive lesser things. And that leads me to the final thing in this. We know that this servant didn't fulfill what was modeled for him by the king. He didn't live into and embody the type of forgiveness that he was granted. And it wasn't just the king, it wasn't just his master who saw that. It wasn't just the master who knew that this man had been forgiven this incredible debt. And so his fellow servants had an eye on him, watching how he carried himself, how he interacted with other people, seeing how he would treat others who owed him. It was these other servants who were appalled at the actions of the wicked, unforgiving servant that then turned him in to the master. And we had here a servant who should have just been walking on air, carefree. All of his debts were canceled, forgiven. That carefree joy is what should have been evident to his fellow servants and his neighbors. But it wasn't. What was evident was a total lack of understanding and a total lack of grace as the servant turned around and demanded someone who owed him a minuscule amount compared to what was forgiven. He treated him just as poorly as anybody else would have. Anyone who had not been forgiven would have. There should have been something different, something unique, something that really stood out about the way that the servant acted. And there wasn't. We have been forgiven everything. Everything. All of our sins, all that we have done against God. As we believe and then profess faith in Jesus Christ. Is that evident? Are we embracing that forgiveness and offering it then to those in our life who need it? Or are we just acting like the unjust servant, selfishly taking the forgiveness that's offered in Jesus, celebrating that forgiveness, saying that we're thankful for it, and turning around and treating others in a way that clearly shows that there's no understanding of that grace. Are you interacting with people in a way that makes it abundantly clear that you have been forgiven everything? Because just as forgiveness is a foundational piece of a relationship in Christ, it is also a foundational piece in the way Christians must interact with the world. And then becomes a way that Christians are viewed by the world. The people in our life will expect something different from us if we proclaim forgiveness, if we proclaim Jesus Christ. And you know what? They should. They absolutely should. Jesus teaches us through the words of this parable to forgive just as we are forgiven, to forgive our brothers and our sisters from our heart. Dear Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for your incredible forgiveness, for the forgiveness you offered us on the cross. Lord Jesus, we know that we can never repay that. We know that we can never earn that. But Lord, help us to embrace that forgiveness fully and to extend it to others as you would have us do. Lord, help us to forgive. Because it can be difficult, Lord. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.